Hey, Christine here with the Co-Living Code Show, where we talk about co-living with either real estate investors, developers, actual co-living operators, some with multiple locations, also speak with digital nomads that travel the world living in all these co-living homes. And then today we actually have Grace, and she is a tax expert. I'm going to read her bio because it's like, this is a really special guest for you guys, especially for those that want to live in different parts of the world. And how can you do that? What are the tax implications? Grace Taylor is an expert. She's a U.S. tax professional and enrolled agent, specializing in U.S. tax for expats and digital nomads, as well as for non-residents of the U.S. Her tax practice, Gracefully Expat LLC, is a location-independent business, which she founded in 2017, following a nearly 10-year career in a Big Four accounting firm. So this girl knows her stuff. Originally from Canada, Grace has lived in the U.S., South Africa, and Ireland, and is now a digital nomad, spending most of her time in Europe. Okay, so Grace, that you're, like I said, I referred you somebody last week. You know, one of our co-founders isn't a resident of the U.S., and so we're forming a corporation. We're trying to do it right. And Grace was the first one that came to mind. I'm like, she knows her stuff. And we always laugh because you're Canadian, but you help people with U.S. tax law. So tell us about that. Like, what is, you know, obviously people are trying to be more global citizens, we've noticed. So what are just the trends you've seen lately?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll start by saying that, yeah, it is confusing, but I just happened to finished my university degree in Seattle, and then I ended up starting at KPMG in Seattle. So that's how I came to the U.S. tax specialty. And then, you know, I stayed in it because I loved it, and it transitioned nicely into my own personal goals for being location independent myself, because that was the area of tax that I had always known. So yeah, in terms of what trends do I see? Well, I'll say that I think it's an amazing time to be location independent, because I see kind of firsthand, based on my clients, what people are doing out there. And there are so many opportunities for making a location independent income stream. And then, you know, that really translates into the ability to pick and choose where you spend your time around the world. And I'll say that an awful lot of my clients who are digital nomads would choose to spend time in co-living spaces, just because the productivity, the community, just being able to plug in and go when you arrive in a new city, I think people find it invaluable.
Nice. And then do you work with specifically expats from the US? Do you work with, like, what's your client base made out of?
Exactly. Well, you know, because of the particularities of the US tax code, US tax happens to be a pretty good specialty to be in. I say that with a bit of a smile, because Americans don't love the fact that they always need to file a tax return, even when they don't live in the US anymore. But the fact is they do. And there are, in fact, specific provisions that Americans who don't live in the US can utilize that can optimize their taxes when they're living and working outside the US. So that would be my real kind of niche area. Now, I'm a Canadian, but I don't specialize in Canadian tax. And I work with a lot of people who are traveling in and around Europe. I don't specialize in any area of European tax. And I think that most tax professionals really can only properly niche down in one country's tax law, because it is so complex.
And then name the state. So talking about the US, you know, and I saw you take the stage and present in person, which was great a while back. Name the states, you know, for, and I do have a lot of American friends that are getting ready to kind of leave for like at least a year and travel the world. What state, and these are friends in California, which I know California is one of the states that is not the most tax friendly. So definitely, can you give that list? And I forget, was it 5 different states or 7 that ideally you want to try to set up residency first and then leave if you're going to leave?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great point, that when we're talking about tax from a US perspective, we're not just talking about the federal tax from the IRS, we're talking about each of the individual 50 states as well. And they all do things in their own unique way. And so yeah, as you say, you know, of course, there are some states that would be considered less tax friendly than others. And then there are the really easy states where there's no tax at the state level at all. And am I going to remember them off the top of my head? But the main ones are Washington State, where I used to live. Seattle is there. A lot of, you know, tech people are kind of migrating there, I think, in part because the tax situation is a little bit more simple. you've got Texas, you've got Nevada, you've got Florida, Wyoming. There's a handful of others that I see less frequently. But so yeah, any of those states, if you have your state residency there, it makes your situation an awful lot easier, especially when you're moving abroad, because it's just one less thing that you have to worry about wrapping up before you start your travels.
Perfect. And then let's dive into travel. So, you know, obviously you've traveled the world. I'm sure you have some advice and some things that you love about it. So let's start there. Like, what's the best part about being able to pick up and move to a different country?
Wow. I would say, you know, especially as someone who relatively recently started a new business venture, and just being kind of a numbers nerd, I love the ability to kind of pick and choose based on cost of living. Because when you are kind of starting out a new business, you just might not have that ability to have a super high cost of living every month. So that geo-arbitrage, I think, is amazing. And I think that it works for even once our businesses do start to scale and start to become, you know, more reliable income streams, we can still pick and choose and we can have an amazing lifestyle for sometimes a fraction of the cost. And then as well, I love the variety. I love being able to interact with people from around the world, not just locals in that place, but also kind of other people that are doing this. And the more that I get plugged into the digital nomad community, I realize that in almost every city, you're going to find other people that are doing similar things. So it's kind of fun that way.
Love it. And then how many countries have you been to total?
Oh, wow. Do I have an updated list? I'd say I added a few new last year. So last year I went to Russia and Mongolia for the first time. So I think I'm up in the 30 some odd. Yeah, hoping to increase that a little bit in the next year as well.
I love it. And then we chatted before we started this interview. Tell everybody, the viewers and listeners, where you're at right now.
Right now I am in Ireland, and not even in Dublin. I'm in rural Ireland where it is already getting dark at 4 p.m.
Oh my gosh.
Great winter day.
Well, it's the beginning of January, so that kind of makes sense. So when you do travel the world, like, what type of places do you typically stay at? Like co-living homes, Airbnb?
I would say, you know, I would typically go for an Airbnb, although I am I'm hearing so much amazing things about co-livings that, and I even have some friends that have started them. So that's definitely on my list to check out. But for now, I've mostly just stayed in Airbnbs just because it's so easy if you're just going to kind of book for, you know, less than a month or whatever it is. But yeah, there's so many great co-livings. And so that's definitely on my list.
No, and you're right. And you bring up a good point. And that's why I would like to see more and more. I mean, I know every city kind of has different ordinances as far as, you know, some of them have a 30-day minimum just, and that's like a city rule or county rule. But it would be nice to see more of that, give flexibility where you can stay a couple nights or stay a week and just get a feel for co-living without committing to a full month to start. But what's funny, because most people end up staying longer anyways.
Yeah.
That's what usually works out. So when you decide, you know, when you're looking around, like, is it just word of mouth or how do you find these places to stay at?
Yeah, that's a good question as well, I suppose. Well, I love doing research. So usually I would pick based on neighborhood. Because when I'm in a place, I really love, even though I'm in a very rural environment right now, I have some family here, but, and it's great. But if I am in a city, I really like to be in a neighborhood that's very walkable. So I would probably do some research and find out, like, where's a yoga studio? Where is a market I can go and get fresh produce from? And kind of just like cafes that I could work from, things like that. And then I would kind of narrow down based on geography usually.
Perfect. And then, you know, I'm thinking more just again, people listening. Again, we have a lot of people that are thinking about traveling the world or some that are already doing it. And I think the taxes is like the last thing they want to deal with. Think about like what's some good tips and tricks like out the gate where it's like, okay, just talk to your CPA first, like try, like, you know, maybe just a good checklist, a quick thing on what do they need to do before even leaving? Because I don't think they think about this stuff until it's like, you know, tax time.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's a question of not knowing what it is you don't know. And I think sometimes people make one of two sort of mistakes, we'll call them. And neither of them is irreparable at all. But the first one might be that they think nothing changes. So they keep filing a regular tax return using TurboTax or whatever software they use. And that's okay, but they might be missing out on some of these particular expat tax benefits, namely the foreign earned income exclusion if they're eligible for it. And then they might have broken their state tax residency and not know it. And if they keep filing a regular tax return as a state resident, you know, that's additional money that they maybe weren't required to pay. So that would be kind of mistake number one. It's easy enough to fix. You can file an amended return. But if you know before you file that first tax return, exactly what it is you're doing, you can avoid that. And then the second mistake, which is probably worse, but also not the end of the world, is when people don't file anything at all. And this happens as well, because they think, well, I don't have, I don't work in the US anymore. I don't work for a US employer. I didn't get a W-2, so I don't have a tax return, right? No, wrong. And again, we can fix it and we can, you know, catch you up if you haven't filed. But so those would be the two things. And then I would say the biggest change really for someone who has traditionally just had, you know, one job, W-2, lived in the same state, is they've probably haven't needed any specialized tax support before. And once they become more of a digital nomad, they might. And so that's kind of where, that's the gap I try and fill, is people who, you know, they don't know their tax situation has become more complicated, but it has. So.
No, I love it. I love it, Grace. No, that's perfect. Because I think you're right. They just leave and they're like, oh, you don't have to file taxes. We're not even there anymore. So that's really good to know. And again, I hope you guys are writing this down, especially those that are not even in the US right now. You guys are probably like, shoot, you know, reach out to Grace. Definitely anytime. She's amazing. She helps people with exactly this. So my next question is, you know, when you stay, you know, live in a country, you know, move to a certain city around the world, like what makes you, have you ever stayed longer than anticipated? And if so, why?
Well, I've probably stayed in Ireland longer than I expected to, but it's for love, you know, my boyfriend is here. But other than that, there's places that kind of draw me back. Like when I used to work in the corporate environment, I was sent on an assignment to South Africa, and I loved it so much. And I actually thought about staying. It would have completely upended my life. And, you know, I ultimately decided not to. But that's a place that I always feel drawn back to, just because, like, Cape Town is so cool and the lifestyle is great. And other than that, yeah, I would guess, you know, if it's not kind of a particular sort of lifestyle draw, it's maybe the people. You know, sometimes I would meet people that I just connect with and want to meet up with again somewhere else around the world.
Nice. I love it. Yeah. See, that's just why, you know, and that's why we're building the software, is we want to make it easier, you know, with Kindred, where people can just look up anywhere in the world and just jump around to these different co-living homes and not have to worry. I mean, we just truly believe in like global citizenship. Like, how do we make that happen? I mean, I know that's easier said than done. I don't think these governments will allow it, but just making things that much more efficient and easier if you do want to live or if you do want to stay, like what does that look like, especially in urban cities? So my last question is, Grace, in your opinion, what's the future for like co-living and like housing as a service? Like, where do you see these trends moving in the future?
Oh, that's such a good question. And I feel like you're so much more of an expert than I am. But as a follower and a user of these services, I just think that they're going to increase because the ability of people to take their income with them around the world has increased. And I see that firsthand. So yeah, I think that the future is going to be more flexibility, more choice, more kind of ease of access, because yeah, the one challenge that I would have is I don't want to search for, you know, 50 different apps and 50 different websites and Facebook groups and figure out which one's legit and which one isn't. So I love the idea of kind of having a centralized hub that I can go and trust and that's easy to use. So that would be amazing.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Grace. We really appreciate having you on the show today. And like I said, everybody, we're going to have her contact information here on the show notes. So you can reach out, any tax questions. We kept this very light. So I've seen her speak on the stage and I know a decent amount about US taxes because I've owned a business for so long, but even some of the stuff I was like, whoa, this is like a lot of numbers, you know, like she said, she's definitely great at numbers and really into this stuff. So she can answer, you know, any of these questions for you guys. So thank you so much, Grace. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Christine. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.